Well, you pet stylist, you found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and co-star of the show, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hello, groomers! Hey, Susie, what's up today?
Oh, Barbara, I see that big smile on your face because we have a special guest today. Welcome to episode 263 of the Groom Pod, recorded on July 19th, 2020 in Snohomish, Washington, Tucson, Arizona, and Los Angeles, California. This podcast is brought to you by listener support and through our kind sponsors, Best Shot, Show Season, Evolution Shears, The Absorber Towel, Stazco, and Cherry Brook. Speaking of the Absorber Towel, I want to tell you of a great offer they've given us. If you put the Groom Pod in their coupon code and it's the first time you've shopped at their website, they will give you 10% off. And the Absorber Towel is really a great technology, especially for mobile groomers, but really for everybody. It feels like a cross between a sponge and a magic eraser, and it's saving me tons of laundry time, space in my mobile. It really sucks a lot of that water off that I was dealing with just gathering in my grooming trailer, and it makes the dogs dry a lot quicker. I cut them in half so they're easier to wring, and I store them in a bucket full of vinegar, like a Tupperware with a top on it, and they're just making my life so much better. So if you guys are interested in testing out the Absorber Towel for yourself, you can go to dogloverstowel.com and put the Groom Pod in the coupon code, and you'll get 10% off on your first purchase. Today, we have an exciting interview, and you know what? We're just going to get right into it. Let's go to our first appointment right now. You know, groomers, your salon runs on shampoo and conditioner, and what you choose to bathe with can make or break the quality of your work, productivity, your health, and even your career. Sure, there's a ton of shampoo lines to choose from, but if you haven't tried Best Shot's innovative systems, you may be working too hard. You owe it to yourself to check out BestShotPet.com. Discover firsthand why so many groomers rely on their trusted mastery of coat care chemistry. That's BestShotPet.com. Learn more about using their three-step system and how Best Shot mindfully formulates using advanced grooming technologies, combining the very best nature and science has to offer. Whether it's their three-step system, the one-shot odor annihilator, Ultramax Pro Line, MED skin treatments, or the amazingly aromatic and fun Sentiment Spa Collection, Best Shot has something tailored just for groomers that really works. For over 25 years, Best Shot has lived up to its claim to get dirty jobs done right, so you can start making masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. What are you waiting for? Contact your favorite distributor or catalog and get some Best Shot today. I love them. Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment. I love an adventure, and the guy we're going to talk to right now is in the middle of one. He was born in Africa and moved to the United States when he was just 13 years old. And it was in New Jersey that Brian was exposed to dogs as pets, and it shaped his future. After college and a start in banking and corporate career, he took a left turn into the pet industry. And in 2010, he started Harlem Doggy Day Spa. Then the pandemic hit in 2019, and he decided to go on an epic road trip to help folks affected by the virus whose pets need grooming, and here we are today. Brian is in Los Angeles on the Pandemic Pup Relief Tour, grooming pets in need for free. Welcome to the Groom Pod, Brian Taylor.
Thank you for having me. My name is Brian Taylor, but some people know me as the Dog Father of Harlem. I've earned that name because I've groomed over 10,000 pups in the last 10 years. And I've helped so many pet parents and so many kids who wants to get into this pet industry. So here I am. Thank you for having me, Barbara and Susie. You guys have done amazing work in the pet industry, and it's an honor to be part of your show.
Well, welcome.
Yes, welcome, Brian. We're just really excited that you have the time to give us today. And so I'm real curious about something, because I know that where you grew up in West Africa, dogs are not a part of the family like they are here. In fact, they're not really pets so much as just kind of hangers-on, right? They just sort of sometimes are like a loose in the village kind of thing. Did you know dogs in Sierra Leone? Did you have any connection there at all?
Yeah, there is. The thing is, my uncle was a Rastafarian and believed in everything and he loved everything. So he actually had a dog that was part of our house. Dog could never get in the house, but the dog was in our field, our backyard, and he always fed him rice because we ate rice. So I was always around dogs, and my first animal was a pet monkey. His name was Abu. So there was something about animals that always kept me loving. I just didn't know what it was going to take to kind of be an ownership of a pet until I came to America when me and my younger brother rescued a dog when we were young. And my mom flagged us saying that, hey, I don't like dogs. You know, you guys got to find a home for this dog. You can't have it here. You got to understand, too, I was raised here when I was watching Lassie. I was watching all these dog-related TV shows. So I really felt it was part of the culture, American culture, to have a dog as part of the family.
It is definitely a part of our culture. And I imagine at first you were a little taken aback by noticing the number of dogs that lived in homes and were treated as children almost.
Yeah, I was. But it was fun because, like I said, like pop culture made it cool to have a dog. Like, I used to watch all of Lassie's episodes, and I'm like, oh, my God, why we don't have a dog? Like, I used to ask my family that, like, no, we're not going to have a dog. This is not what we do. So, like, I knew that when I had my family that I was going to have a dog in my life. So we saw it, and it was different. But American pop culture really tells us, like, this is what the American culture is, and this is what you need to do. And I always wanted to be part of the culture and just be able to have everything that my friends had.
You were just a dog lover waiting to happen. Yes, Susie, I had that question too. How old are you now, Brian?
I am 37 years old.
Oh, you're a puppy.
I'm a puppy.
It's interesting because we have had some caregivers from Africa who became family members for us. They were always afraid of our pets. They were afraid. It's totally a different culture. They were a little bit older than you and maybe didn't have quite as much exposure to American pop culture as you did, but they were flat out, didn't matter how big or small the dog was, they were afraid of the dogs until they got to know them. It was very interesting.
Definitely. But also keep in mind, just to get a little deeper, that dogs were used in so many ways to attack Africans, especially like during the apartheid in South Africa. Where dogs, they were used as a way of attacking people. So that fear is there. And because there's not enough imagery in Africa during the 90s of positive thing that dogs did, like here, of course they're afraid. Like, you're afraid of something if you haven't seen a positive image. You know, until you realize, this is not bad. Then you're like, okay, it's not bad.
It was fun. I enjoyed introducing them to pets. It was awesome. I enjoyed that.
Brian, how did you get into banking and finance?
Whoa. So basically, actually, it was so tricky. I wanted to be a film director. I wanted to create movies and travel the world. So I actually got a job selling women's shoes at Lord & Taylor. So I was really the top producer there, and I always had like this working moms, and I'll make them feel so good about buying two or three pairs of shoes. And the way I was working the crowd and getting all the moms to come, and I'm always smiling, I'm always complimenting, always telling, oh, this looks good with this. One of a good friend of mine said, the way you work as a shoe salesman, you can work in retail banking and help people because you have a good personality. So that's how I got into banking. So I did take some finance classes back in college. So when I learned about 529 plans, investing, checking savings account, how you can have your money work for you, I fell in love in that aspect. And in retail banking, your job is to find products and services that matches the consumer. So that's how I got into banking, and then I excelled in banking.
And then you met a dog walker.
Yep. So one day I was helping clients. I worked at JP Morgan Chase, and one of their philosophy is that if you work the lobby and help people, you would get more opportunities for investments. So one day I met this lady. She had five dogs, and I asked her what she did. She said she walks dogs for a living. And I was just so astonished, like the fact that she walks dogs for a living. I'm like, people can make money doing this. So I started to volunteer with her to help her walk dogs during this time in 2008. You know, there was a financial crisis happening. And since I just got my job 2 years, I always thought that if they let people go, they'll let me go first. So I volunteered and I learned about her business. And that's why I approached her. Hey, listen, I know business, you know dogs, let's come together and create a business. So that's how me going into the dog business came from. It was more of me being an investor and helping someone reach their business until it didn't work out because we had two different visions of how we wanted to run the business.
Yeah, you were probably more structured and more visionary at the same time.
What I found is that groomers at that time really undervalue what their worth is. They didn't understand what a cost of a dog is towards the total expense of running a business. So I sat down and I said, hey, listen, you're charging too cheap. You're doing too much work and you're not getting paid and your business is not going to grow. And she wanted to offer discounts and all that. I'm like, we're not going to be able to be a good business and be here for 10 years if we're not charging enough, but you're also taking a lot out. So because of that idea, we had to separate. And I went to school to be a dog groomer. And for some way out of nowhere, I became good at it. I was like, what? I'm a groomer. And I was so shocked by that when people started to ask for me to groom her dog instead of her. And that's when I knew that, you know what? If I become the best groomer possible, I can take this business to the next level if we split. And what happened in 2012, we just couldn't work under the same roof. A lot of things happened that was not ethical on her part. And I just took on the business and I just told her, you know, it's best for you to take your client and go over there. And I'm going to increase the price so that your clients can go with you and I can build a new business model. And that's what happened.
You're speaking my language, Brian. I scream all the time. People need to do the math. If you don't do the math, you don't know what your business is making and what it's not making. And we're not supposed to be donating our services. You, on the other hand, you donate your services a lot.
Yeah. So one thing I found is that when you give back, you get more. So what I try to do is that I could groom 200 dogs a month by myself. They dry everything. That's how I kind of work. I work 7 days a week. But what I realized that you all, as much as you're taking, you got to be able to give back to the community, because then is what your reputation is and what people perceive you as is what really help grow your business. I don't pay for no advertising. The most advertising I've ever done is either Facebook or Instagram posting. But most of my business come from word of mouth. And every year I try to find something to do for the community to get these people to know about me and my business. And that has helped me in tenfold.
So tell us a little bit about what your shop is like.
So my shop now, we do doggy daycare. We do grooming. We do dog walking services and boarding services. I'm in Harlem. I have two levels. One level is the grooming salon. I have three tables there. I have a small boutique shop area. And then the second level is a big old open apartment with a backyard. So we do dog daycare there. I have about 30 dogs that come for doggy daycare. But the difference between us, we focus on the behavior and we focus on doing activities around the dogs. So we do report cards. We do doggy exploration day. That's when a new dog comes for dog daycare. And we do a whole day on Instagram telling them how their day was. And we do a little package for the mom. We do puppy painting. We paint paws. We do a swimming pool party. We do all a lot of exclusive stuff with pet owners, but we're very transparent so that owners can see the value for paying $52 for a day or doggy daycare, you know, and it works really well for us.
I've been through Harlem, and I know what it looks like in there. How hard was it to procure that spot?
Well, I was lucky, actually. I came in 2010 when things were just turning the corner, and I was able to secure a space. But really what helped me was the daughters of the landlord. They loved me. They loved my idea, and it felt like Harlem needed its own dog business. And it took a lot of convincing and a lot of investment in terms of both of us. And the space wasn't all that great. I put in a lot of work to make it great. But I was able to secure a long-term lease because I knew that the business was going to do well. And if he didn't, I was young enough to work myself out of the debt. So that's what helped me. So I still got a good lease compared to what most people have now.
Did you find as a community as a whole that the people who lived in Harlem were used to getting their pets groomed, or was that something that you had to kind of introduce in there?
It's a combination of both. So when I decided to partner up to do this business, my good friend, he was a financial advisor. He's like, listen, Black people don't take care of the dogs like how other races do. I'm like, that's not true, but I'm going to find out. So at that time, yes, there was a lot of dog owners who had the stereotypical dogs like the pit bulls and the German shepherds and the bigger dogs. And the cuter dogs actually came around when like Paris Hilton and all these pop people started to wear, I'll get this designer dogs. But what happened was because dogs grooming is such a big deal in terms of keeping the dog healthy, we started making it an educational thing where it's important to get your dog groomed. So in the beginning, what I used to do is that for every 4 grooming you do, you get a free bath with us or you get a free spa services. So that way I got them on a regular schedule and I made sure my grooming was good enough so that it would come back. So that's the educational part about it. And I use social media from the beginning. I've been on Facebook and Instagram and all these platforms doing videos and sending it to my clients from the beginning so they understand the importance of properly grooming their dog on a regular basis. So that's where it came from. So I did defeat the notion because majority of my clients, 70% is still African-American. They're working and they come and get their dog groomed at least 6 times a year. And there's still some challenges there, but it works.
On the flip side, how about employing groomers?
Oh, that's the challenge. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I honestly think there's this notion that groomer thinks that they are your business partner because you pay them a commission. And I tried it hourly, but because New York is so expensive, commission just works best. But I've gone through groomers, but this is the one thing I always tell a groomer. If you walk out, I'm not going to be ashamed because I can groom. A good business and a good running and grooming salon is when an owner is also a groomer. So you cannot leave me with 15 dogs and walk out because you're not happy or you're going through whatever you're going through. And then I'm stuck. I'm going to groom those 15 dogs. My client's not going to know that you quit on me. So I've had groomers walk out on me. But what I've been trying to do now, I've been working with a lot of at-risk kids. And I'm trying to introduce them to the grooming world by offering them a basic certificate to teach them how to bathe and fluff and dry. And then what happens is I partner up with the New York City Summer Youth Employment Program. So they give them a pay for 100 hours. And then they come to my salon and I get to train them in the basics of being a dog bather, a dog handler, a dog walker. And then from that pool of people, I hire. My next step is then to make them into groomers. That's my goal. Mm-hmm. I need a lot more help in that because there's a whole curriculum aspect that I'm not there yet with, but it's challenging to get groomer, but it really takes a very passionate person to love what you do so people can follow you. So I got a good team of groomers now because I'm a groomer.
Our hands are money makers. We rely on them. How long we last in this career is dependent on how well we care for our hands. Evolution shears were engineered to be the most ergonomic shears out there. They were designed by a team of groomers, sharpeners, and medical professionals with comfort in mind. They started with the observation that all hands were not created equal. In fact, they are all unique and have different needs. Evolution shears are fully customizable with adjustable sizing and your choice of fixed ring, single, or double swivels. I recommend the double swivels. They're my personal favorites. Evolution shears work with your thumb in its natural position, making scissoring in all directions a pleasure. They are made to prevent repetitive stress injuries that occur due to scissoring and keep you from grooming. Lastly, they use high-quality materials but are affordable. They come in curves, straights, thinners, and chunkers, and in a variety of lengths and edges. A good thing for those of us with scissor addictions. There is a learning curve, but don't worry. The staff at Evolution will hold your hand through the whole process. Their customer service is tip-top. You can put your hands on a pair of Evolution shears and say hi to Abby, Ron, and our favorite salesperson, Chris Anthony, at many of the grooming shows. But if you're in a hurry, and you should be, go online to evolutionshears.com or call them at 877-560-3057 and buy yourself a pair or two. Be sure to ask for Chris because she'll take great care of you. But wait, if you act now... Okay, you don't have to act right now, but mention the Groom Pod when you place your order or put Groom Pod in the coupon code on the Evolution website and you will receive $10 off each pair of shears. How cool is that?
I'm just sitting here just like, whoa, this dude, you are incredibly spot on. There should be more people in our industry that think like you do. You're just coming from such a fabulous point of reference, Brian. It's just, you know, I just floated into grooming because I burned out dramatically from a previous career and needed something immediately. And I had a friend who was a groomer. And then I discovered I had a passion for it and I went for it. But when I opened up my business, I didn't know shit. And I didn't know much. I've never had a passion for the business side of my business. And therefore, I've just done a hand-to-mouth business for 50 years. You know? and it's true.
What helped me is a book I read, right, from the beginning. And this book has been in the industry for so long. Not, I think they call it Groomer in the Box, but it's the Madison System. You heard of that, right?
Yep.
I read that book 3 times. And I took a lot of that system and to implement what I've learned from what the bank taught me was one thing. When you put system in place and you're consistent with your system, you're good. The higher level thing is customer service. And I do that. Hey, thank you for using my service. I really appreciate it. Tell me how we can improve our services. Great. Let's schedule your next appointment. Okay, great. If you love us, tell your people how much you love us. So I focus on that four part, and that's how I come back and get appointments. If I get appointments, then I know what my projections are for the next month to the next 2 months, and then I can control what the narrative of my business out in the open in terms of Yelp and Google and all that. So that's what helped me. And in the Madison system is really understanding what roles you play as an owner slash groomer or owner with employees. And that has help me. I read that book in 2012. I still got that book. It's my Bible, and I followed a lot of stuff. And then what helped me as a personal groomer is all the expos. I always went to Hershey. I would go to Hershey religiously, and then I would go to the Groomer Expo in New Jersey. I haven't been to the New England one, but I've been to the California and the Atlanta one. And I take classes, and I pick people's brain. Some of those classes, I'll be honest with you, need some support. But the thing is, just being around the industry made me understand what's good and not. And one of my favorite idols is Melissa Van Plank, the one that owns Learn to Groom. Like, she's such a business person that I learned a lot from her class. I've always taken her classes. I don't care what it costs, because she comes from a business side of things. I got into the business because I invested in a business person that didn't do well. And then I fell in love with grooming. But Melissa always did both. It was business grooming, the business behind grooming. And those are what helped me as a business owner slash groomer.
So what happened to you when the COVID hit?
Whoa. So basically, I look at projections. The operating system I use is Ginger, because Ginger covers a lot of stuff. And I started looking at my numbers. I'm like, people are not buying packages. I'm like, why are people not buying packages? So I did a whole fire sale of packages in February because I was going to increase price anyway. And people purchased it, but they weren't using it. So I just started just kind of looking at things. And then one day I saw an article on Facebook about how COVID started to affect Wuhan. And I watched it and I said to myself, this is going to mess up business. I like, this is what's going to change the whole thing. So I saw that in January. So what happened to me in March, I literally had made all this income in January and February in packages. And usually people start dwindling down their package so that by April, they'll re-up back on packages. And I literally had people say, I can't come to, I'm not going to bring my dog to doggy daycare. And most people say, I'm working from home, I'm working from home. So in the first 5 days in March, I lost close to 80% of my projected business. I didn't have any more business coming in. I had to close doggy daycare. The only thing that helped me was dog grooming. Because grooming season starts in March, and a lot of people got their tax return. A lot of people had this heavy matted coat from December. I started getting more grooming business and lost all of my doggy daycare and boarding businesses. And then when the governor said in March that we had to close down, I was like, oh my God, I don't think I'm going to survive this. That was my idea. But what helped me was I started opening up in April, and people started giving me money towards the other people who cannot afford grooming. So I would charge a grooming price. And they will say, Brian, this is what I'm paying you. This is my donation to the next client that may not have money to cover grooming. And then also give me a tip. Because what happened is, just because people weren't working, they still was earning an income. And I cater to a lot of clients who have income. And then I still have a lot of clients that live check to check. So when that started happening, I was like, you know what? I need to make sure I give back in the right way. So I created the COVID-19 Relief Fund. That's what I called it in the beginning. And I started grooming pups. And then when someone walk in and they got their dog groomed and say, Brian, I can't give you as much as I normally do. Things are tight. I'm like, you know what? This one is on me. Don't worry about it. Then I'll deduct it from the fund. So within April and May, I raised over like $2,000, and I gave away about 12 groomings, and I was just shocked, like, this is happening. So because I have a good following on social media, I posted it. I'm like, hey, listen, I'm going to create a COVID relief fund, and the idea is really whoever needs grooming, we can use this fund to give you free grooming, donate. And then within that time, people started buying gift cards for the COVID relief fund in advance that I raised close to $4,000 in the month of May, just on money that I haven't even done the service for. But when I did that, someone that has a following that love us, they end up calling me up, and it happens to be a producer from CNN. She said, Brian, I love what you do with these dogs. I want to do a story about your pandemic thing. I was like, you know what? And I told her, say, one of the ideas I always wanted to do is travel across America, because I have a mobile van, and just like meet up with other groomers, see how they're doing, and also groom one or two dogs. So I've raised all this money. So I think I'm just going to take some time out and do this whole tour in the summertime. And she said, that's great. She put it out there. I put a GoFundMe link up. Within 10 days, I raised $10,000. I was like, whoa. I like, this is happening. I have to now go back to the drawing board and make this happen. So I started reaching out to friends that have done stuff around in tours and event planning. And I actually reached out to my good friend, Erlyn Spradley. I'm like, Erlyn, I got close to $14,000. I need to do something with this. People have given me money and I want to travel across America. And say, okay, great. You can't do this by yourself, Brian. Like, you can't go and groom these dogs by yourself. You need help. And then Black Lives Matter hit. And then all these people are just so deep and really all about their feelings, what's going on in this world with George Floyd and everything. I was like, you know what? I need to send a statement in my own way where I'm doing something to give back, but also let in the one place where I always felt we didn't have, when I say we, I'm talking about African Americans and minorities. I've been in this industry for 10 years. I read Groomer to Groomer magazines. I read the Borden magazines. I'm like, I have all this experience. I've never contributed to the magazine and tell them about what business ideas that works for me as a groomer. I'm like, why Barclay are not like reaching out to groomers? I'm like, how do people get in these magazines? And then before then, I've never worked with a brand before, unless Andis. Andis has been part of the Andis program, and Hydra have made me into a PR person. But I'm like, I use all these people products. Why are we not based of it? I'm like, you know what? The best thing to do, I'm going to reach out to my Black groomer associations. And I told them, listen, I want to create a tour. I want to go across the country. I want to groom dogs for free. Who's interested? Within 2 days, I had 15 people who said, Brian, I'm willing to close down my shop and go with you and help you do this. I'm like, you know what? This is the statement that we need to do as an industry. The fact that we're African American and we're not being represented properly in a $90 billion industry. And by the same time, we own dogs too. We spend money on caretaking of dogs. We're not there. We're not represented properly by the brands. If we go and groom American pups, hopefully they will pay attention to us as Black grooming professionals. So that's what this whole thing about. One is to help the American pups. Two is to let people know that African Americans own grooming business and that we're groomers. And three is to see America and tell America's story.
That's great, Brian. So it seems like you already were kind of hooked up with an alliance of Black groomers. Is there actually an organization or is this just an informal?
It was an informal Facebook group. So it's called Black Groomer Association. We have about 371 group members. Most of us are also in the professional pet grooming groups, and we're part of the groomer groups. We're part of all these groups, but we have our own group. And I think the idea next is to create a nonprofit around being a Black or minority groomer, because we want to introduce more minorities into the grooming world.
And I want you to.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And we want to be able to represent in the shows. You know, there's a lot of grooming competition that I never see any of us really in. So it's like, it'd be great to compete at all these different expos and just get the recognition that we all want as groomers.
I think there's kind of a weakness in our industry that the main path by which groomers kind of rise to the top or rise to notice in our industry is through competition grooming. And not everybody is suited to do competition grooming, and it's expensive to do. It's costly to, you have to commit a lot of funds behind yourself to do a competition thing seriously. I'm just really pleased to see you emerge without having to go through that. I'm so happy to see you just emerge as a businessman and a visionary. You call yourself a visionary, and I see how appropriate that is, Brian. I'm excited. I didn't know there was an organization of Black groomers. I'm happy to hear that, and I want to see more images of Black groomers in our advertising and in our media and in our coverage of the grooming industry. This is the time. And what you're doing is, this is it, you know, and I see it as this is a way that I, as a white person and a white educator in our industry, this is a way that I can contribute to, quote, Black Lives Matter without having to go out and protest, without having to get into issues about the police and all of that. I just need to find ways to support like you. It's so cool. I'm so glad you're here now.
Thank you. Barbara, I'm happy you say that, because one thing I realize is, right, our fight is different in all front lines. There's people who needs to do that. That makes sense. But education, being able to give your knowledge and help a minority or anyone extend their livelihood in this industry and make money for their family and get the recognition, that is something that goes down generations. I've had groomers who worked with me and became business owners that's providing for their own family that I've trained. Do you see what I'm saying? That is such an impactful thing. Yes, I want to see more educators in this industry open up and let minorities educate and have platform to train and teach others and give back the way you feel that is appropriate for you. That's such a big deal. So like when you reached out to me and I found out who you were, I was like, oh my God, this is someone important. I have to do this interview. That's how me getting to learn who you were and then understanding how important you are to the pet industry, that I was like, you know what? I got to find time for this woman, because this is monumental, because she's going to bring so much different context to what's going on.
Let's go back to the tour, because I'm curious how it's working for you. So you're just going city to city and mostly in the East Coast, right?
Yeah, no. What we're doing is this tour has been like, I had to sit down and think about this, go over it over and over. So what works because of COVID, we picked 6 locations. And again, this is the first tour. We plan to do more tour. And we did the pop-up in New York at my salon. We needed to do that for media. And in 2 weeks, we're going to go to D.C. I'm going to drive my mower van to D.C. There's a doggy daycare that's owned by an African-American woman. Her name is Carly Lester. We're going to turn her doggy daycare into a grooming salon. We're going to have stations in her playrooms. And then the outdoor space is the check-in area. We're going to have a retail area. And then we're going to have 3 mobile grooming vans to also set aside in this field. So owner's gonna come in, they're gonna check in their dog, and then that dog is then taken to get groomed. Once it's groomed, we'll give the dog back to the owner and we'll do a quick interview, ask them how COVID has affected them. And then we're gonna just groom as many dogs as we can. We're committed to 100 dogs per location. And in each location, we have about 12 groomers who have volunteered 2 days of their time. So that's how we set up. And because of COVID, we're really trying to stay social distancing, but at the same time, trying to help as much dog owners as we can.
So, Brian, how do you choose the clients? How do you choose the pet owners? How do you find them? And how do you know who you want to give a free grooming to and who maybe not?
Honestly, this is where social media is such an impactful thing. So the other thing I did, being a business guy, I reached out to Mogo and Groomer.io. Groomer.io came back with me and said, Brian, we want to help. And if you know, Groomer.io is a new online booking platform that mobile groomers are using. So we created an online booking service on the PupReliefTour.com website where owners can apply, where they put all the information, and then just got to ask a simple question. How has COVID affected you to the point that you couldn't afford to get your dog grooming? And then from there, we'll just pick the people that really need it. They need to send a picture of their dog. And that's how we pick it. There's only 100 slots. We're just trying to be fair. We really care about seeing the dog. There's a question. When was the last time you got your dog groomed? If somebody told me November, it tells me that they couldn't afford to get their dog groomed. So it's really about that. So there's no this data that whoever gets there first, and we opened it on the 15th of this month, And we'll just try to filter it out by making sure they all answered all the questions.
I see. Thank you. I noticed that you go from Dallas to L.A. That's a huge jump. What happened to Arizona?
Yes. Because we're trying to make a statement, we were trying to find groomer salons that's owned by African-American for this trip. And we couldn't find any. That was the problem.
None? Jeez, that's my state. Yeah, I know. I only know one black groomer.
So that's the challenge. A lot of people don't know enough black groomers in the industry. Some groomers have never, I've talked to some Caucasian groomers, they have never worked with a black groomer or a black person. So it's like, that's it. I would love, we're going to stay in Arizona because my brother wants to see the Grand Canyon. But like on the next trip, honestly, like I said, I was saying earlier, yeah, this year is a statement to pet grooming industry and the pet industry in whole. But in the future, I want any groomer who want to help the American pups. That's what the long-term goal is. But this year is about us sending a statement, letting them know that we're here.
I know there's black groomers in Arizona, and I wouldn't be surprised if there's got to be a few black-owned businesses, but they're kind of in hiding. They're just kind of segregated and not networking in the industry as a whole, but we need to find them. And one thing that I can do is that when Susie puts out this podcast, I'll be sure to post the notice on the Arizona Groomers Facebook group, because there may be some anonymous black groomers on that group. You just never know. See, that's one of the virtues of social media, is that you don't always have to identify yourself by race. And Arizona is indeed kind of behind in racial matters. So, and I only know one black groomer, and she works in a white-owned salon. We'll try to help you get the word out, and so maybe that will flesh out something. It only takes one. They may be in touch with each other, but not with us.
So that's the thing about the groups, right? I think like one of the groups got shut down because of racial thing. I think people are so passionate about race, and it takes away from what we do well. So that's why I wanted to make sure this is, I know it seems like a race thing, but it's not.
It's bringing us closer together through the love of pups.
Exactly.
It's us.
That's what it is, us. It's not one. It's just that we want the pet industry and all of the brands that are out there, which is a lot, and they keep coming out with more and more brands. I was just part of a Purina panelist. There's so many people coming into the pet space. And some of them are not really dog lovers. They just see a big $90 billion opportunity. And what the thing is that we all have to be properly representative. And someone said that minorities are one of the higher spending consumers in the pet industry this last year. So basically what I'm getting is a lot of millennials, don't matter where they're from, they're spending so much money on food, on how to take care of the animals, and that potential can make this industry bigger than what it is. So that means everyone has to be properly represented so that you can find a niche and really support that niche and give back. By the same time, you can have a successful business because this is a niche-based industry.
Right, and help black pet owners find groomers that they're comfortable with.
Yes. Okay, two. Educate.
Yeah, so cool. So cool. Brian, God, I love you.
This doesn't end here, though, probably, right? You're going to do it again?
Next year, and hopefully the year after. Probably get you guys on tour with us once, you know?
I would love to be a part of a couple volunteers day. I actually give my time to an assisted living that's full of dogs. I do it one day a month. I go up there and I do pretty much anybody who wants all the nail trims, and anybody whose dog needs grooming, I'll do it. And that's how I give back. So I totally am on board with what you're doing. And any way we can help you get the word out, we are on board to help that as well.
Thank you so much. That means so much to me. Definitely. But I love the fact that everyone are finding ways to give back, because every year there's so many more pets coming. There's so many more dogs. There's so many people are having dogs that have 6 or 7 litters. Like, some of those dogs don't go in good homes. We as pet professionals, we got to always find time to give back, however you do it.
Those are great words to end on, actually. Barbara, do you have anything else you want to say to Brian before we let him go on with his life?
I am so complete. I hope that you find a few more people for your team in Los Angeles, because there again, they're there. They're just kind of separated, we could say.
What are your dates in Los Angeles?
It's the 12th and 13th, okay. But I'm going to be in Los Angeles to the 7th. Yeah. So we have time. We pretty much got everyone from D.C., North Carolina, Atlanta. Dallas, because it's a hot spot, we just got just enough. But Los Angeles has been the place that we need help in.
Hey, speaking of show season, did you see my before and after pictures of Pee-wee, the Maltese, and my magic makeover?
That was quite a transformation in that coat. Oh my gosh.
Somebody said it just like I had thought it. It looks like he sleeps in the fireplace.
Yeah, what is up with that?
Well, I don't know, but that dog gets black like that a lot. He's the dirtiest Maltese I've ever known. This guy's coat is porous, and that dirt just climbs up his legs. I mean, he was just black.
What did you use?
Show season grind time, girl. It's the magic wand for really dirty dogs. She used the grime time, and then we rebathed with the show season bright.
It's remarkable.
It's a remarkable product.
If you guys would like to get your hands on a tub of Grime Time or some Show Season Bright or any of the wonderful products, you can find them at showseasongrooming.com. You can give them a call at 678-382-0218. They're also at many local distributors like Cascade Grooming Supply, which is my local distributor. Okay, well, give us all of the information on how to contact you if you want to become involved or help in any way with Brian's causes. How do we find you?
Yep, so you can go to pupreliefetour.com website. There it tells you about what the tour is about, the location and everything. And then if you want to be part of it and you're interested, especially in the NLA section, what you want to do is send me an email. It's Brian, B-R-I-A-N, at PupReliefTour.com, or you can go to my DM at the Dog Father of Harlem for Instagram, or my business page, Harlem Doggy Day Spa, and send me a DM, and I'll reach out to you, you know, definitely.
Fantastic. Well, I can't wait to meet you in person somewhere. I'm now going to become a private Brian stalker.
If there's a way that we can get these expos back after COVID, you know, it's going to be so enlightening for everyone. I think the dog community, we're so tightly niched and we love what we do. Most of us, the sharing of information is such a big thing. When I go to these expos and I talk to some of these owners of dog-related business and the feedback I get from them, I'm like, I just be having notes. I have my recorder out, because everyone does it so different, but you can always take something away from it.
Totally.
I think it's just so cool that your dog spirit came out in America and hooked you up, you know, and then your just passion for business and being systematic has served you so well. It's just wonderful, because I think that there was a dog lover back there in Sierra Leone that just didn't have an outlet. Your inner dog lover was just like waiting for your move to America. And it took you. It took you. It grabbed you, just like it did me. Just grabbed you and took you away from anything else, and it's going to be about dogs.
I know.
So cool, Brian.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, guys, thanks for being here with us. Remember to support our sponsors. Remember to use the Cherry Brook link. Support us on Patreon. Everybody, have a great week. Thanks, Brian, for being with us on the Groom Pod. Happy grooming, everybody. See you again soon. Bye-bye now.
Thank you, ladies. Bye-bye.
Bye, Brian. Bye, groomers. Take care of yourselves. Wear your mask.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of the Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com or Barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.